Here, David expands upon the reality that we can move beyond thinking and just how necessary these steps are for one's spiritual evolution.
It's realistic but difficult because you're trying to transcend. The ego has been dominant for eons, so that's why enlightenment is extremely rare. It tends to dominate, and people don't even realize that there's any alternative. Very few people even realize there's an alternative way of experiencing life and seeing life and interpreting life. So they don't even know that there is such a thing as an option. And those that are religious think, well, after death, all this will take place, you see. And only rarely, the great gurus of India, and the Buddha included, of course, Jesus Christ said, heaven is within you, to be discovered. So he's talking about the self with a capital S, divinity, as immanent. So the realized person realizes divinity as immanent, and religion worships God as transcendent. So the difference between immanent and the mystic is the discovery of God as immanent, as heaven is within you, the self with a capital S. You're not dominated by thinking, and you don't have any intention about it. It's really an autonomous phenomenon. In ordinary life, you think there is a personal me that is doing a thing called thinking. So there's a me and an it. There's a me and then there's the mind. And then at a deeper level, there's an identification that I am the thinking and I am the mind. And then eventually one becomes aware one is the witness of that. You are neither the cause nor the subject nor identified, but you're the witness of it. So consciousness is the witness, the field, the phenomena, but it is not the thinker. There isn't any thinker. There's no doer behind doing this. There's no thinker behind thinking this. In the early stage, you merely study the spiritual truths that are attractive to you and which seem meaningful, and each one leads to the next door, you might say. Probably the easiest one to begin to see, although maybe the hardest to change how you see and feel, is the proclivity of the ego to always see that happiness depends on something outside of yourself. Your fame, your money, your good looks, your youth. Happiness is always something out there. So you are always separated from happiness because it's something to be gained. When I finish college, then I'll be happy. When I get my degree, then I'll be happy. When I get promotion, I'll be happy. So it's always in the future and it's always elsewhere. So if you catch this aspect of the ego, the second most important thing is to realize that all negative feelings are there because there is a gain. The reason you are hooked on hating people is because the ego juices it. So you watch that the ego survives by virtue of the juice that it gets. It loves to be the victim. In fact, the biggest competition in today's world is to see who's the biggest victim. It loves the juice, victimhood, being right and making other people wrong, prideful, vanity, etc. So the decline of the ego is when you spot that it isn't these things the ego wants. It isn't that in the world. It's the juice that the ego gets out of it. Look at the juice the ego gets out of being right. Do you know that people will slaughter each other by the millions? If I can characterize this world is a struggle for moral superiority. All you see on the television, all the headlines, it's all for moral superiority. You see that moral superiority? This political party is right about this. No, this political party is right about this. This dictator is right about that. This philosopher, this professor is right about that. Each one is struggling for the hegemony of being right. Moral righteousness is the big prize, more important than money or oil, is being right. You can be right, you can slaughter. You can set off an atomic bomb that destroys the entire Western world and feel smugly, righteous, holy, and wonderful about it. So you see how moral superiority now gives you open sesame to the narcissistic core of the ego. That's why. Narcissism is struggling always to be moral, they call it moral superiority, political correctness. So for political correctness, people will reverse truth and falsehood, sin and virtue. They'll sell out anything so that they can come out feeling morally superior. People sell their souls to be morally superior. You can check that with the arm. Do people actually sell their souls in order to feel morally superior and righteous? Yes. Why? Because it gives complete sovereignty to the narcissistic core of the ego, which considers itself God and therefore is very happy to repudiate God at the drop of a hat. People can't wait to get on the bandwagon to repudiate God and divinity and Christianity and all the rest of Judaism or whatever it stands for. They will sell their soul for the sake of the ego. So being righteously righteous can be costly.